I thought I'd put it on before I stand up this time. Okay. Right. I've got, I put a foundations book together a couple of years ago. It's called Kingdom First. And it's Dan Chesney said it's the best foundations book he's ever read. I paid him a tenner for saying that. No, I didn't really. But out of the young people that have come in here today, would anybody like one of these? If you do, just come and take it. Because would you like one? Come and have one. It's very simple to read. I know that you're doing the Freedom in Christ course with Dr. Neil Anderson. That's right, isn't it? And this has got a lot of that kind of stuff in here as well from a slightly different angle, but it's all reinforcing our true identity in Jesus Christ. So if anybody's here, well, like one of them, would you like one of these? If you don't, come and get it. One of these older guys are just going to quickly run up and give them a round of applause. There we go. Father, we just want to pray for these young people here on the front row. We thank you that they are not the future of the church. They are the present church.
Yes, that's right.
Lord, they are part of today's church. They're leaders of tomorrow. We pray, God, that you would pour out your spirit upon them as they listen to your word, that they would be infused and excited by what they hear. And that, Lord God, that they would rise up, oh Father, and that they would take hold of the baton for their generation and begin to see great mighty things pour out into their schools and colleges. And in their places of friendships. In Jesus' mighty name. And the people said,
Amen.
Amen. I just want to give credit to where credit's due this morning before I go any further. I don't know whether any of you noticed it, but your worship leader this morning lost a string very early on in the worship time. Did you notice that? I just want to give credit where, because I've led worship on the guitar. You know, I've done lots of things. I've got my deacon badge in the drawer even now. I can take it out at any time. So I don't allow any of the people in my church to say to me, well, you know, if you don't do this or if you don't minister like that, we'll leave. I just say, well, there's the door. And my deacon badge is still in there. I can get that out again and leave worship if I have to. And I don't know why I'm saying any of this. Because you're not like that, are you? You don't use blackmail and things like that. But I want to give credit where credit's due because he just forgot about everything that was going on. And he just focused on God and worshiped the Lord and led us into the throne room, didn't he? So we just want to give honor. To what God's doing in this church, people that are in this church that are doing that stuff. Because I know that the chords can sound terrible when you lose a string. Sounds very strange. Sounds like you're playing underwater. Are you all happy this morning? I've come to make you even happier. I've come from sunny Mitcham this morning to bring you some good news. I've got a reputation for kicking cups of water over. So rather than to baptize you too early, I'll put it down there. Okay, would you turn with me, please, to Proverbs? Proverbs. I never claimed to preach balanced sermons. This message this morning is not complete in any way. I don't balance everything I say, but it is truth. And truth is what you need.
Amen.
Amen. Proverbs 13:12. We'll start here. In fact, this message this morning is a compilation of three messages. Not that I've preached them before, but it's going to be three messages. But they link together, and I'm going to do it as quick as I can, because at the end of the meeting, miracles are going to break out in people's bodies.
Amen.
We like confessing the word. I'm going to confess the word. God's going to heal some people's bodies in this place this morning. But there's a direction we have to go before we can get there. Proverbs 13:12 says, hope deferred makes the heart sick. That's not a promise, but you can have it if you want it. But when the desire comes, it is a tree of life. And whenever you read the word life, often in the Old Testament, it means health. Especially divine health. Okay? Hope deferred makes the heart sick. But when the desire comes, it is a tree of life. It kind of reminds me of a verse in 3 John. 3 John 2 that says, John is praying. He says this to the church. He says, I pray that you prosper in all things and be in health. Just as your soul prospers. I want that emotional health that prosperity of soul, that freedom of soul to make right choices. I want that freedom in my mind and in my thoughts to bring a reaction, to bring life into my physical body. I want all of this to have an effect on my whole makeup, spirit, soul, and body. Blessed in all of these areas, emotions, will, and intellect. All torment has been taken away. If I was to say to you this morning, what would it be like if somebody could come up to you from your past and mention any subject from your past, touch on anything from your past, and you didn't feel the need to retaliate, you didn't feel the need to justify anything, and you also didn't feel the need to run and hide in shame? How would that feel? That is prosperity of soul. What would it feel like if you had never sinned? What would it feel like if you had never been sinned against? The blood of Jesus Christ gives us access to both those emotions. Hello? Amen. Is anybody here this morning believing? God does not want us to have a theological understanding just. He wants us to have an experiential understanding that we truly have been forgiven. And the moment we were forgiven by Jesus, he gave us the permission to go and live as though we'd never sinned. Wow. That's freedom of soul. That's freedom. That's prosperity of soul. Completely aware, all right? Not just theologically aware, but completely experientially aware that we are free from our sins, that we are free from the past, and also everything that's been committed against us as well. Absolutely shameless. When you were forgiven by God, he gave you that permission to live totally free. The prosperity of soul changes things in our health. And Proverbs 13, when it refers to hope deferred makes the heart sick, it's speaking specifically about disappointments. And everyone in this room this morning has got piles of disappointments that they've had to work through in the past. And if you are somebody in the healing ministry, if you are someone who's in the miracle ministry, then I can tell you, you will have to deal with the thing called disappointment. It may be that you believe someone to be healed and they died. It may be that you were believing for someone to be saved and they never got saved. Or you were believing for a house or a job and it never happened the way you were hoping for it. Maybe you received a word from God that it was going to happen and it didn't happen. Every one of us in this room have been in that situation at one time or another. It comes as a huge disappointment, doesn't it? And that season of disappointment thrusts us into an intense, extreme season of vulnerability. To put it into the natural, it's like the immune system is completely broken down. You can be at work and someone's got a cold, and guess who will get it? You know, just someone could walk past you with a flu or sneeze, and you're the one who will get everything that's going because your immune system is broken down. The issue of hope is the immune system in a believer's life. Any area of your life that is not under the influence of hope is under the influence of a lie. Yeah. Biblical hope, I wrote this definition down. Maybe it will be helpful to some of you. You may want to write this down. Biblical hope, this is the definition I have. Joyful anticipation of something good. Joyful anticipation of something good. Like children on Christmas Eve, expecting to get something. Let me say it again to you, that any area of your life that's not under the influence of biblical hope is under the influence of a lie. Well, I thought that was a good place to say amen, but that's okay. Now, the invitation or the open door to that lie coming into my life is usually a direct result of disappointment. And as a church, and I'm not meaning this church specifically, but as a church as a whole, we haven't done a very good job of giving the necessary tools and principles to the body of Christ in how to deal with situations when we go through them like this. Something happens in the heart of a believer or in the heart of anyone when something drastic or trauma happens to that person. It's even been proved by highway patrol statistics that if someone's been in a car crash and experience great trauma, that within 6 months, they're likely to be in another car crash. There's something that festers, that fouls in the heart of somebody when we've been through great disappointment or great trauma, and it's been left undealt with, and we pile life experience on top and pretend everything's okay. And do you know what happens to the believer when they do that? They become jaded, and eventually they get bombed out of faith. You are here this morning because you have learned to deal with disappointment better than others. There are people who are not here today as part of this church and as part of churches all around the world because they never knew how to deal with disappointment when it came. God's going to give us some tools this morning of how to break free and go forward with God and to have his perspective on stuff. Disappointment left undealt with draws us into a position where we doubt the goodness of God for our lives. And the minute that you break down your concept of the goodness of God for your life, you are totally wide open for a lie of Satan in your life. And this lie comes with a personality attached. Do you know that? When Satan brings a lie into the life of a believer, it comes with a presence. And that personality, the lie become personified, raises through your thought life, it all up into a supernatural bondage into a believer's life. And that's why we have to understand that we are in spiritual warfare and we're very vulnerable at times of disappointment. We prayed for someone who had cancer and they died. So we are not quick to pray for someone else who has cancer again. And you may put a cover over it and you may want to dress it up into all kinds of religiosity and say, someone comes to you and asks you for prayer, but you say, well, go to so-and-so because he's got a real anointing for that kind of thing. Maybe you were in a situation where you believed once for a particular thing, and now that you doubt the goodness of God for you, when someone comes to you and says, isn't God good? You'll say, oh, amen, praise God. God is good. But in your heart, you'll be saying the words, he's good for everyone else, but I'm not convinced anymore that he's good to me. And this happens. And we put covers over and we try to just carry on and pick ourselves up and pretend like nothing's happened. But God wants his people to be free, but free indeed. So that we can stand up and raise up our chin and say, I believe that God is good over my life. When disappointment comes, we must seize the moment. We must take time out and deal with this as if it's a life-threatening disease. And I want to give you three principles now of how to deal with disappointment when it comes. Number one, be honest to God. Be honest. The chances are that the enemy doesn't want you to be honest. He wants you to now begin to move into a season of being a fake, of pretending that everything's okay, pretending that, yeah, praise the Lord, hallelujah. I've seen people praise like it. I've seen people do it. Oh, hallelujah. How are you today? Oh, I'm fine. Everything's wonderful. But inside, I'm dying. God doesn't want you to tell him what you think he wants you to say. He wants you to be completely honest with him. Sometimes it absolutely amazes me that many Christians have never spent one hour on their face before God just crying out their soul before the Lord. You know, it's not wrong to say to God, God, I don't understand why this happened to me. God, why did you give me that prophetic word? God, it seems like you've abandoned me. It seems like I'm all alone here. I don't understand, God. But can I just throw into the mix of being honest? Please be reverent. It makes me feel real uncomfortable when we add into that disrespect of God, when we put into the mix accusation and bitterness towards God. That's just the spirit of stupid. I mean, while we're being honest with God, let's just be reverent. And understand that he's a holy God. And we still need to be respectful to him, even when we're pouring out our honest heart before him. Amen? Is anybody getting this morning? Number two, find your voice in the Psalms. Now, it's an absolute fact that every single human emotion is represented in the Psalms. Keep reading the Psalms. Take hold of the Psalms. Just go through them. Read one after another. I'll read at least 20 to find my voice coming off the page that's the cry from my heart. Keep reading them till the cry of your heart comes forward. You know, the amazing thing about the Psalms is that they're great psalms of lament. They're great psalms of truth. They're great psalms of worship. And the amazing thing about David is that when he pours out his heart, what does he do towards the end of the psalm? He even then begins to release the answer, the solution to his own problem. Find your cry. Read the Psalms. Find the cry of your heart in what you're reading. And when you hear the cry of your heart, come off the page. Camp there. Stay there. Live out there for a while. Why? Because the Word of God brings healing into our lives. And number three, and this might sound a little bit like the first one, but it's a little bit different. It brings me on to this one now. And that is this. Take time out. When you have had a big disappointment, don't just brush it over. Don't just shake yourself off and get up and say, it's all okay, it's all okay. Take time out as if you were dealing with some really major life-threatening disease. And come before the Lord. Microwave Christians will have a real hard time with this. If you're a microwave Christian here this morning, you're going to have loads of disappointments hanging around you for many, many years. And so you have to really take time out. Otherwise, you'll have to take time out later on through some kind of sickness or some kind of depression that's gripped hold of you because you didn't dig this thing out when it came. Now, I'm not prophesying sickness over anyone because that's not what the Word of God tells us to do. What I'm saying is this is a result of what happens when Christians don't attend to the issues of their hearts. Are you getting this morning? Amen. Praise the Lord. Take time out. Now listen to this one. Allow the peace of God to come to you before the understanding comes to you. Listen, the spiritual man is superior in every way. He will be able to tell with what is of the Spirit, what is of God, and what's not of God. In fact, he can pick up what's of God before the understanding even comes on board. God wants to bring the peace of God into your lives long before he brings the understanding. And the chances are that if you don't allow the peace of God to come to you first, you won't ever get the understanding. The peace of God, the Bible said, surpasses all understanding. It goes past the understanding. The spiritual man receives that into our lives. I don't know, probably you understand what I mean by when I say this, is that sometimes God can come and bring some kind of peace, some kind of solution to your heart spiritually long before the understanding catches on. And for the life of you, you can't explain it. You just know. You can't put it into words yet, but you know you've heard from God, you've received from the Lord, and you have a peace over a situation that used to just demand an understanding. Now it doesn't need an understanding. You have the peace on the subject. And once the peace comes, the chances are is that it opens the way for the understanding to come as well. Allow the peace of God to come, because why is that important? Because the peace brings ease. And if it brings ease, it refuses dis-ease from taking a hold into your lives. Amen? Hallelujah. So these are three principles that we need to get hold of. My friend died of cancer, and I would say that she was probably, out of all the people I've ever met, who knew how to walk in that contending for her miracle type way, you know? I've never seen anybody do it better than she did. We believed that God was going to heal her. We had words from the Lord and all this stuff, and she died. The phone call came, and she died. At that moment, you are tempted. Shall I just put this down a little bit? At that moment, you are tempted to devalue what you already understand to be true. Why? So that you can erase disappointment. Now listen to me. This is really, really important. The devil wants to rob you of truth to replace it with a lie in order to get over to disappointment very quickly. What's happening here is that he now is on the scene and he's ready with his bag of rubbish to put it into your life. But this is what I say. I refuse to let go of what I know to be true for the sake of a lie. I refuse to give up what I understand for what I don't understand. I refuse to lay down what is true because I don't understand everything. I don't understand every reason why people are not healed, but I'm not going to lay down the reasons what I do know of why people are healed. I'm not going to give up truth for a lie. I'm not going to take from the promises of God and bring them over into the altar of human reasoning and sacrifice them there. I'm going to hold on to the promises of God. I'm going to carry on believing that God is good and that he always wants to heal. I don't understand everything, and I'm not going to sacrifice what I do know for what I don't know. Is anybody with me so far? Listen, what I understand right now demands the rest of my life. If I don't understand anything more about healing, what I do know demands the rest of my life. Is anybody here awake this morning? Are you understanding this? I don't understand all the answers. But there are some things that I know that I'm not going to give up because it demands the rest of my life. To keep going, to keep pressing in. So we receive a peace. Now, I just want to take you to another passage now because I believe this is going to bring a bit of clarity for you. If you turn over to Mark's Gospel, chapter 9. There was a lady in, there was a couple in my church, in my second church, and this couple came forward on one particular time, and they received a prophetic word that they were going to be in ministry together, and God was going to do great things, and he was going to take them here, there, and everywhere. And 2 months after they received that prophetic word, he fell into an adulterous affair. The relationship broke up. She was on her own. And she would have said, "Why, God? Why would you say such a thing?" Not realizing that God was at the last stages coming in with a word that could save him. God was trying to restore something that was almost breaking down, giving him another chance, because this is where you belong, man of God, not over there. This is what I have for you. This is what I desire to do. But God will not cut across a person's free will. But listen to me. Somebody else's sin does not exemplify or eradicate your future. It does not take away what God's put on you just because somebody else hasn't fulfilled what God put on them. Are you hearing this morning? Hallelujah. Mark chapter 9, verse 14. Now, for the sheer fact of time, let me just quickly summarize the story. It's one of my favorites. It may be one of some of yours are here this morning. Parents bring a boy to the disciples, and they ask, this boy has seizures, where when he has a fit, there's an evil spirit that froze this boy into fire, into water. He convulses, and they just have no control. They've lived with this for a long time, and they just can't live with this any longer. Some passages say that he needed deliverance. Other passages say that he needed healing. Can I suggest to you this morning that a high percentage of healings have a spirit of infirmity attached to them? And so this boy is brought by his parents to the disciples. The disciples can't do anything about it. They try to heal him. They try to deliver him, but they can't do it. And then we're told that the parents then bring this child to Jesus. Now, just in case you're thinking that these disciples are novices and they don't know what they're doing, yes, we know they made loads of mistakes, but actually at this moment in time in history, they were the most experienced men in signs and wonders of their time apart from Jesus. Was it not Jesus that said to the disciples when they came home from their mission, "I saw Satan fall like lightning when you were about your business"? You must have gone so to the root of the principalities of darkness when you were ministering. I saw Satan himself fall like lightning. They were the best of their time. And these parents brought this boy to Jesus because the disciples couldn't heal them. The story goes on. They bring him to Jesus. He convulses again. Jesus casts this demon out just instantaneously, and his disciples are standing there stunned. absolutely stunned. What? We've been out there, we've been doing this, we've seen great things happen, and now we can't do it. And they bring him to Jesus, and Jesus just deals with it immediately. What we tried everything to do, you know, they probably got their prayer cloth out, and they're doing all their stuff, they're rebuking this, rebuking that, casting this demon out, this thing out, that thing, and they're trying this and trying that, in the name of Jesus. All the different formula prayers that they worked out, none of them worked. And they bring him to Jesus, and Jesus just deals with it. Get out. Can you appreciate it a bit? Can you sympathize with them a bit? Anybody here sympathize with that a bit? Yeah, good. And then the Bible tells us that in verse 28, the disciples want private consultation. So the disciples come up to Jesus in verse 28, and we read this. And when he had come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, "Why could we not cast it out?" So he said to them, "This kind can come out only by prayer and fasting." Okay. You got that so far? Can I just add in here at this moment on? The Bible tells us that the minute that deliverance began, this boy would convulse and go into all kinds of... The devil never expresses himself unless he is flushed out. To come out in the open is never the devil's best suit. He likes to be behind the shadows. He does his best works in secret. If a demonic spirit is being expressed either through the practices of a cult in the media or something on television or in someone's life, it's because that particular demon has been flushed out into the surface. So rather than to think, "Oh my goodness, oh man, the devil's so strong," or to think, "Oh no, this is terrible, this is really bad news." No, this is really good news, because the thing's on the way out, not on the way in. Why does he cause such a fuss when he comes out into the open? Because he knows that fear cancels faith. It's his last card to scare you into thinking that the whole thing's got 10 times worse and it's going to demand a lot more faith. So he puts a big show on for you so that you go into some kind of, "Whoa, what's this?" I mean, I've seen demons do all kinds of things with people. I've seen, especially if you travel to Africa or other places, I've seen demons can't throw people down on the floor, wriggle like snakes across the floor, all kinds of things. And when I was first in the ministry, I went to a demonized person to help them, and they opened the door, and these two great big eyes looked at me through this person's eyes, and I legged it down the street. I mean, I was like, "In the name of Jesus!" I saw this thing, I'm what was that? You know? What happens then is that, you see, how many of you know that the devil's not intimidated by a loud scream and a yell? I mean, you can shout and scream and yell all you like. Oftentimes, that's just covering up fear anyway. I walked into a meeting one time. I was preaching at this church, and someone connected to a member of the church there had come into the back of the meeting, gone into a spare room. Some leadership team members had gone into the room with him, and they were trying to deliver this thing out of this guy I was preaching. And at the end of the meeting, they come and asked, "Could you come in?" "Why?" "Well, we're trying to deal with this guy's, I mean, it's not coming out." I walked into the room, they were shaking him. You know, one guy had him on the arm and he's punching him on the arm as he's saying, "Get out in the name of the Lord." I mean, crazy stuff. I just went into the back and stood there and looked at him. And as I just stood there and looked at him, the guy calmed right down, fell on the floor, shook a little bit, got up in his right mind. Now, I'm not saying that we shouldn't command. I'm not saying, of course we should. I'm not saying that we shouldn't use the name of Jesus. Of course we do. But faith in the heart gets there before your words get there. Jesus just dealt with it instantaneously. The disciples want to know, what happened there? Where did we go wrong? Jesus turns to the disciples and says, "This one only comes out through prayer and fasting." Can I remind you of the story very quickly? When they brought the boy to Jesus, he didn't stop and have a prayer meeting. Neither did he say, come back tomorrow when we've had time to fast. He dealt with the demon immediately there and then. What happened? What had happened? What is he talking about? This only comes out through prayer and fasting. Now listen to me. Jesus had an account so full up with prayer and fasting, he just simply made a withdrawal. There's something about that disciplined pursuit of God's face that does something to the anointing of a believer that allows you to minister on a higher level of authority. That's why the pursuit of God's face must never go. That's why in all the prayers for everything else, the pursuit to know him must always be at the center of every prayer. Amen? Or oh dear. And so these disciples are watching this and they're having first-hand experience and first-hand teaching from Jesus himself. I want to ask you a quick question. What had happened if the parents had never brought this boy to Jesus? Can I ask you another question? Do you believe it was God's will for him to be set free? Are you sure? Or what had happened if the parents had never brought him? Listen now. What Jesus is teaching us here is that there are breakthroughs all around us. There are potential miracles all around us. But if we don't follow the principles of the Word of God and the tools that God has given us by the Holy Spirit, we will miss those breakthroughs. And we will shout and scream, go through formulas, go through motions, go through all this kind of stuff, and we will miss the whole point of these breakthroughs and miracles that are right on our doorstep. Jesus is teaching them that it's the disciplined pursuit of God that does something with our anointing that raises us up onto a higher level of authority.
Amen.
Fasting. That's an interesting one, isn't it? See, fasting does two things. Number one, it really hammers the principalities and powers of darkness. I don't know how it does that, but I just know it does. I believe it does. I believe the Word of God. It hammers the principalities and powers of darkness. But number two, it doesn't change God. It changes me. I've done a 30-day fast. That's about as far as I ever got. Some people say, well, you hang in there, brother, you'll get the breakthrough. I mean, how long do you have to hang in there? I know some of you have fasted that you know, God just gets revealed to you. And the longer you fast, the more sweeter you become. Well, I'm sorry, but that's not my story. The longer I fast, the more I get revealed to me. Some of you just, you know, you fast and you get stronger and stronger. Well, I don't. I'm being humorous with you because I'm just trying to be perhaps exaggerating a little bit just to pick up some here that can relate to what I'm saying. But listen to me now. I believe that the Bible is true. And I also believe in obeying what he says even when I don't always fully understand. Something very powerful about fasting that enables us to add a 22 punch to our rifle, you know, a magnum force to what we're shooting. Some miracles cost more than others. And let me tell you this, that when you come to a big expense, if you have not been depositing anything into your account, you can't ask to make a withdrawal. Okay, now I need to move quickly on to the bit where we're going to be taking communion in a moment, but there is a link between these two passages. I've talked to you about hope deferred makes the heart sick, how it's really important to deal with disappointment when it comes, not to give in to the devil and to trade what you know and believe up until this point for what you don't know, in order to erase disappointment. It's very, very important to stay with what God's shown you and believe you and hold on fast to the promises of God and not let them go even though you don't understand everything. Secondly, it's really important to begin to apply the principles of God's word when seeing miracles and things happening around us and to use the tools of the Holy Spirit that God's given us. Now we're moving into the final point, and it's found in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Does anybody have the Amplified version here this morning? Anybody have the Amplified version? Would you be kind enough just to read verse 23 to 26 for me? Would you do that?
bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this to call me affectionately to remembrance." Similarly, when supper was ended, he took the cup also, saying, "This cup is a new covenant, ratified and established in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it, to call me affectionately to remembrance. For every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you are representing and signifying and proclaiming
Thank you. Verse 27 says, "Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many are asleep," and also meaning that many have died. Jesus takes bread. Jesus takes bread. I find it amazing how sometimes we change the words of Jesus to make it more palatable for us. To give you an example, we know that the Bible says one thing, but we say, "Of course, I can't heal anybody. My job is just to pray for the sick and hope that God will heal them." But that's not what Jesus said. Jesus said, "Go heal the sick." Now, that's not to say that I have the ability to heal anyone. It just means that if I will believe, that God will put the ability to heal it within my reach. Did you get that?
Yes.
That if I will contend, God will put the anointing on me to release that healing. But we change the words because it makes it more palatable for us to get it. Jesus took bread, the Bible says. But what did he say to them? He said, "This is my body." Jesus took bread, but he gave them his body. Now, I'm not wanting you this morning to take a piece of bread and just imagine that that's a ripped off piece of flesh from Jesus, because that would be gross. But that's the offense that Jesus was going after in John chapter 6, when he said that unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you cannot even have part with me. I mean, I'm sure when he said that, Martha said, "Come on, dear, we're going home now."
Yeah.
I mean, this is not going to be tape of the month, you know. I mean, it's just gone into insanity now. We're turning back. And the Bible said that even though they saw many miracles and they were with him up to that point, they turned back and followed him no more. And Jesus did not even feel the need to explain himself. Why is that? I'll tell you why that is. It's because Jesus is never interested in raising a family who only follow when they understand.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
Wow. Jesus took bread. He says, "Take my body." He took bread, but he gave them his body. We're going to be taking communion in a moment. But I want us to understand one thing before we take it. The blood has to do with sin. Without the shedding of blood, there cannot be the remission of sin. Blood has to do with sin. If that was the only thing that Jesus had done when he died on the cross and went through what he went through, then we could still jump up and down and rejoice. And it would still be awesome, and it would still be worth living for. Will anyone say amen?
Amen.
But why did he go through what he went through with his body? See, when we hear the words that his body was broken, he said, "Take, eat, this is my bread, body broken for you." What was he talking about? We often think when we, in terms of his body being broken, that he went through crucifixion. He was broken. He was beaten with rods. He was broken. But the Bible goes through great lengths into explaining to us that actually not one bone of his body was broken. So what was Jesus talking about when he said, "Take, eat, this is my body broken for you"? Now, I'm sure there may be theologians in the room that will put me right on this, but this is what I believe. I believe that he was saying to them, that has to do with the whipping post. That has to do with the cat of nine tails that had pieces of metal and bone into the leather of the whip that tore flesh from him, broke off pieces of flesh. And why did he do that? He said, by my stripes, I am healed. In a moment, you're going to stand and you're going to take a piece of bread. And I want to say to you this morning, it's more than bread in the sense that it's a physical testimony of a spiritual reality. What you hold in your hand is a physical testimony of the price paid for every disease, every sickness, every physical ailment known to man. 39 times he received the lashes, and I'm sure many of you have heard that that professionals tell me that there are 39 diseases and sicknesses known to man. He stayed on that whipping post, front and back, and took every single piece of punishment that we might be able to stand up and not only be spiritually healed, but physically healed and set free and delivered, spirit, soul, and body, and stand up in the fullness and in the freedom that Jesus provides through the sacrifice on the cross to say that I am whole because he was broken. Jesus got what I deserved so that I could live in what he deserved. It's more than a memorial. It's more than just remembering former events. It's more than sitting here and going through the motions and religiously feeling fluffy that Jesus loves me. Yes, he loves you, but more than you know. Yes, God is good, and more than you know. He's better than you understand, so change the way you think. When you stand there with a piece of bread, you stand there with the very evidence that your healing has already been paid for. He doesn't just want you to eat a piece of bread remembering an event of the past. He wants you to eat a piece of bread but spiritually receive the virtue of his body and the power of grace that comes when I don't just eat physically but I eat spiritually. Amen. And take into myself the virtue of what he won for me when he died on the cross. Let us stand. I've asked you to stand before I say this next bit because this is really important. Paul is giving us in this passage a reason why many Christians are sick. He's given us the reason in this passage, the revelation, why many are sick, depressed, left, gone, died, fallen asleep spiritually. He says there's two reasons. Number one, if you have anything against somebody, deal with it. Examine yourself. Now, can I just say that that does not mean that if you're standing here this morning and you don't already know under the hearing of this word and in the presence of God, you don't already know there's a problem, don't go looking for one. This is not an invitation to go navel gazing and try to dissect what's going in. If you go into yourself too much, I can guarantee you'll come out depressed. I've never known anybody that goes and searches their natural self and comes out happy. Are you hearing me? If you are not already aware that there's something that may be wrong and that something that maybe needs to be dealt with, then don't go looking for something. Secondly, if you hold bitterness for someone and they're aware of that bitterness, then go and talk to them about it. But if they're not aware of that bitterness, don't say a word to them. I've seen so many people, you know, go up to people and say, oh, you know, I've hated you for 3 months. Well, that's great. Now you've got that off your chest, they're going to go away depressed. You know, the revelation that someone hated me for 3 months, actually, is not a very easy one to deal with always. Examine yourself. But don't go into yourself. Just to allow the Holy Spirit to reveal things. Secondly, another reason why people fall asleep, get sick, have the judgment of God upon them, is because they never discern the body correctly. This is what we're talking about this morning. What you hold in your hand is not just a piece of bread, but a physical testimony of a spiritual reality. It's the price. It stands there as evidence of what Jesus paid for you, that you might be healed, that you might be whole. And when you look at that thing, you think, thank God. God, I want to just savor every piece of revelation of what you went through, so that I might win for the Lamb the reward of his sacrifice. That I might be living proof that Jesus really did do it all. And that when he said it was finished, it really was finished.
Yeah.
I believe here this morning there are going to be minds healed. There's going to be emotions healed. There's going to be disappointment dealt with, put away once and for all. There's going to be bodies healed. There's going to be trauma redeemed. We're going to learn how to redeem trauma in the body of Christ, that we can redeem it in the city.
Yeah.
Because we're going to go out into the city and see trauma redeemed in people's lives. And people set free from what the counselor said they will always carry for the rest of their lives. We're going to go and take back what the devil has stolen. We're going to go and take our joy back.
Yes.
We're going to take our calling back, our purpose back, our life back. We're not going to have to try and put something on, but know that we're dying on the inside anymore, because we're going to truly be free on the inside.
Yes.
Amen. Now, can I just ask the service as quickly as possible, if you would just take the bread round and each individual just break a piece of bread off and stand there with that piece of bread. Would you do that? If we could do that just very, very quickly. Can I ask my brother, would you come and just play something while we do this? Would that be all right? Just break a piece of bread. Don't eat it yet. Just hold it in your hand. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Relationships are important, aren't they? And I believe that God is speaking of the importance that he places on relationships when he says that he wants us to examine ourselves to make sure that we are one with our brothers and that there's no unforgiveness and bitterness and resentment in our hearts. Just break a piece of bread off. Let's just do this as quick as we can, but just stand in the presence of the Lord right now. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, I just sense the presence of God right now. This pleases him. This pleases him. He wants you to take what he's won for you. He wants you to receive what he's paid for. It gives him much pleasure when his children take for themselves what he's made available. Oh, hallelujah. Bless you, Lord. Thank you that you're here right now. Thank you that you're here right now. Just take off a piece of bread and hold it in your hand. If you have a piece of bread, I want you to hold it up. Hold it up high. And just with your eyes closed, just begin to honor him for this.
Thank you, Jesus.
Lord, I honor you by taking what you've made available. I honor you by discerning the body of Christ correctly. Lord, I thank you that this is not just a symbol. It's not just representing something. I thank you that this is a physical testimony of a spiritual reality. And as I take it right now, I believe that by your stripes I am healed. Yes, Lord, I am healed. You've paid the price. You've paid the price. You've done it all. It all, Lord. He da 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 ba ba si na 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 na. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You took my shame. You took my pain. You took my sorrow. You took my life. And you redeemed it, Lord.
Jesus.
That I might be free. That I might be free. Oh, Lord. Jesus. Hallelujah. Just receive his grace right now. Take of the bread, take of the bread, take of the bread. And as you eat the bread, Receive life. Receive healing. Receive breakthrough. Receive redemption of trauma. Receive fresh abundance today, children of God. And as you chew, just begin to rejoice. Just allow the joy of the Lord to come. It's freedom! 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 Yes! Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. I want you to do something as we take the wine. If the servers could just bring that round. Thank you, Jesus. Actually, if those that are serving the wine, I you have a bit of a system here, don't you? Is that all right? Bob, would you just?
We're just flexible. They can come up.
We have two over this side and two over that side.
Two over there.
Okay. What I want you to do, people of God, without breaking what's going on right now, because this is such a defining moment. I want you to, as you've had the wine, if you are saying here today, I believe that God has released the grace in my life, that I believe that I am healed, I believe that I'm set free from the past, I believe that I'm free from shame, I believe that God has broken the curse of just trying to get on through and pretend everything's okay, I want you to come out the front, and I want you to declare by standing here at the front, here at the altar, saying, Lord, I'm available to you. There's nothing holding me back now. You've healed me and set me free that I might serve you with all of my heart. I want you to do that. I want you to do that. So please do come and take the wine. Just do that. Just do that. And if you want to declare that to Jesus, don't go back to your seat. Stay here at the front. Stay here at the front. Do come. Do come. Let's have the front line and then the second line and the third line. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We give you glory, yeah. We give you praise, we give you honor, we give you our lives, oh Lord, oh Lord, we love you, Jesus, we love you, Jesus, oh. Over me, you declare completeness, completeness in Christ Jesus, completeness in Christ Jesus. I am free indeed, Lord. Oh, Lord, yeah, freedom, my Lord. Our hands up, shall we? Let's just raise our hands to Him. Hallelujah. Father, look at these people. Look at these people, what they're declaring to you today. Hallelujah. Lord, I thank you for the completeness. I thank you for the richness of what you've done. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The past is done. The past is done. The past is over. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Just give Him praise. Give Him praise. Lift up your voice and give Him praise. Lift up your voice and give Him praise. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Amen. 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 Just going to ask the leadership team, the ministry team, Bob, would you come and lead that? Just going to ask people just to pray over you, just to touch you. They're not going to be praying loads of prayers. They're just going to be releasing, declaring the fullness and the completeness of the work of the cross over your life today. They're just going to come and touch you, maybe on the shoulder or the head. And in that touch is just an affirmation of you receiving today the fullness of the cross, the completeness of the work.
Good. Jerry.
Thank you, Jesus.
Jerry and Rose.
Thank you, Jesus. That's okay. That's all right. That's all right. Just let her. That's all right. That's all right. Hallelujah. Not long prayers, just a touch and an affirmation. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Oh, fullness, 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 fullness. Fullness, Lord. Fullness. Hey, send it up. Thank you.
Lord, we're so grateful. We're so grateful for you, Lord, for what you've done. Even in this meeting, Lord, we know that things that I've counted for eternity have been settled. And you set in motion things, Lord, that will work out. As they work out, as they work through, they will work for good. Not only for us, not only for those that are here, but also for many others. We thank you. We just want you to move by your Spirit, Father. Continue to move by your Spirit as we share together, as we socialize together. We just thank you that there is something you're doing among us as a people to cause your love to break out in this community. That there's a breakout of Holy Ghost love, of Holy Spirit love, causing us, Lord, to know the hope of our calling, to know, Lord, the greatness of your power. We thank you, Lord, for what has been accomplished, what has been achieved this morning. We just want to acknowledge you. We thank you for sending your servant. We thank you for Mike and his ministry. We just want to say thank you for his ministry. Cause your blessing to multiply even through his, as he continues to serve you. We just so appreciate. And as he continues this afternoon, and the Holy Spirit, you're going to use him over there in East Grinstead as well. We thank you. We just thank you, Jesus. Amen.